The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody, good morning. Good morning on this 18th day of September 2020. Much to chew on today. Joe Biden works his way through a very friendly, cozy town hall on CNN last night. President Trump suggests a different path for educating our kids about history by focusing on not 1619, but another year. We'll talk to some guests today of interest, tell you who those are, talk a little bit about what Governor Abbott did and did not do in the path toward Texas reopening. And all of this comes together in the context of something wonderful, and that is that it's Friday.
I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good.
I feel good. So good. I got a year.
Is that a cello in there? What's going on? A cello? Why, it must be some vintage Electric Light Orchestra. Jeff Lynn and the boys. Happy, happy Friday.
Get love. That's what you need. I got three or four babies in here. All I need. I got good love.
From on the third day. Some early, early, early ELO. A little Ma 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 Bell. Who's ready?
You got my mama
there. Already 866-660-5759. 866-660-5759. We got a lot of overnight journalism on the governor's reopening plan, and it's just so, it's so 2020, I guess, although that's, it's not unique to this year. This is sort of the world we're living in right now. So the governor takes a lot of businesses to 75%, relieves some restrictions on nursing home visits, elective surgeries can increase, et cetera, et cetera. It is a gradual path toward the reopening and the normalcy that we crave. And I knew this would happen. I told you it would happen. And you don't have to be Einstein to figure this out. As soon as the noon hour had passed and the governor revealed his reopening plan, his guidelines, two things immediately began to happen. The liberals, who hate Governor Abbott because he's a Republican, began to savage him. That he wants Texans to die. He is wildly reckless. This is a terrible headlong rush toward piles of dead bodies in the streets of Texas, and that the blood of the deaths will be on Greg Abbott's head. Simultaneously, a particularly conservative brand of people have been voting for Greg Abbott, loving on Greg Abbott forever, just absolutely once again began to savage him because it's not enough. It's never enough. It will never be enough until all the bars are open and everything is open. Now, so where's the place to be on that spectrum? And where's the place to be for conservatives? I know that the left is going to hate Governor Abbott because he's a Republican and he's a conservative. But is he conservative enough on the reopening? And we have this state Senate District 30 race, which gets decided in 11 days, early voting going on right now. Known you know, to many, as you might think of it as the Shelley Luther Drew Springer Derby, there are other people running, and we've been working our way through that entire group. I mean, do I think this has, you know, runoff written all over it with Drew Springer and Shelley Luther? Probably. Might one of them, one of those two, win it outright? Maybe. But does everybody deserve a shot at being on the show and tell you what they're about? Yes. That's why at 9:05, the mayor of Denton will be here, Chris Watts. He's running. We'll ask him why. And I don't mean that derisively. It's like, why are you running? No, I mean, literally, why? It's one of the first things I always ask people is what made you think, hey, I need to get in this. And it's funny because I don't know Mayor Watts, but I know his town and I love his town. It's Denton. Who doesn't love Denton? Denton is crazy, bohemian, wild, interesting, funky, multi-everything, and it's just a neat place to be. But what are the politics of its mayor, and where does he fit in a race that has four steadfast Republicans, one Democrat, and where does Mayor Watts want to count himself in there? We will welcome him at 9:05. Congressman Roger Williams, 8:35 on congressional things that are happening or not happening. And then I just cannot wait. Now, say, speaking of getting back to normal, coming up on the 26th, week from tomorrow, we've talked about, you know, what is it? What will it feel like? What will it look like to get back to normal? Normal crowds at a football game, normal crowds at a, you know, a high school event, normal crowds at a whatever. That's going to be a while. On Sunday, we'll have the Cowboys in their home opener against the Atlanta Falcons. We'll see if I'm watching. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. That will depend on the Cowboys' knees. Do they remain off the turf? More on that in a moment. Everybody asks me, what do you think they're going to do? What do you think they're going to do? I have no idea. And it's not like they're necessarily telegraphing it. Even Jerry's not giving us much of a bone to chew on there. And so I don't know. I guess we'll find out a couple of minutes before noon. And if a Cowboy, one, just one, Dontari Poe or anybody else, who one Cowboy knee hits the turf, click, done. Last night, Bengals and Browns, Battle of Ohio, Baker Mayfield and Joe Burrow, 35-30. Won by Cleveland. Good game. Watched some of it. You know why? Not one player knee. Not one. Hit the turf. That's the way to be. That's the way to be. So anyway, there'll be 25,000 people at the Cowboys game. Boy, please, if you go, let me know how that works out. And also, if you go and you get any Cowboy kneeling, do not boo during the anthem. All right. Once it's over, let it rip. Whatever you want to do. Free country. And I am not a fan of booing. I don't even necessarily believe in booing the home booing the away team, booing the opposition. That's America. But if a hometown player is not doing well, you know, Romo throws his fourth interception or, you know, back in the day or whatever. I'm not a fan of booing, especially I'm just not. However, if your team is insulting your country, let it rip. But not during the anthem, okay? Because it's hard for us to scold people for messing with the anthem if we're booing during the anthem. So save it up and do what you got to do. But my favorite thing would be for the Cowboys to actually act like America's team. So the sentence I started some 2 minutes ago was on the path toward normalcy. One of the questions we always ask is, when are we going to have people gathered in music venues to see, you know, the acts and the bands and the individual performers that we would all be seeing in a normal life? 1 week from tomorrow at the Arlington Music Hall, you can go see the Oak Ridge Boys and Richard Sturban, the bass voice, will join us at 9:35. Oak Ridge Boys, Arlington Music Hall, tickets on sale now, a week from tomorrow. How's that going to go? I'll ask him, and we'll see how that. And Richard Sturman was at one point a singer for Elvis, background singer for Elvis. So there's a lot to talk about with Richard Sturban of the Oak Ridge Boys at 9:35. So quite the multifaceted show today. All right, the first audio I'll probably go to here in a minute is some of the overnight reporting on the reopening, such as it is. I'll give you 60 seconds of me on this. Count me among the people who wish we were going farther. And I really had an epiphany about the bars. somebody, I don't remember who I was, like, to give credit where credit is due. Somebody said in the world of Twitter yesterday, it's an interesting time when this many conservatives can become such fans of the bar industry. And it's because we want things to be open. Now, recklessly, wildly, stupidly, of course not. But I went through X number of weeks saying, okay, I kind of get the bars, because I imagined a bar, a big seething, crowded location filled with people with an ever-increasing blood alcohol level. Hey, can I have your number? And like bar owners got with me and said, yeah, that happens. But you'll also have restaurants with, you know, people sitting in each other's laps because the tables are so close together. And if we can have rules that preclude that, then just because a place is offering up mostly liquor and not food doesn't mean that we can't have rules that make sense with some distancing and some tables and some this and some that. Would our industry be greatly changed? Would our rules be heavily observed and scrutinized? Yes, 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 yes. But please, God, let us open. Please let us open. And speaking of God, let's have a word with him. And then I'll dive into one thing, one piece of imagery that I saw yesterday. And it had the best of intent. Everything always has the best of intent. And I just hated it. So grumpy, your grumpy talk show buddy will come at you with something here in a second. You come at me with whatever you want. 866-660-5759. 866-660-5759. Lord, we ask you this Friday morning for wisdom and for goodwill. The wisdom to navigate our problems from COVID-19 to social strife, to fill us with the energy to be smart and safe as we reclaim our lives in this virus era. We pray for success for the minds working to help us with a safe vaccine. Let us lift up those whose lives and livelihoods have been sidelined by shutdowns and restrictions. Help us, Lord, find smart solutions to our social problems, even as troublemakers seek to divide us. Amid these divisions, let us treat each other with respect and patience as we work together to change the things that should be changed, but to resist those who would opportunistically sweep aside huge parts of our history and culture. Remind us, Almighty God, that in these most challenging of times, you are there every day, every moment, to unite us to follow your guidance and to show us how to treat each other as we would like to be treated. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen. So, there is no state fair of Texas, which breaks my heart. I understand, because you talk about a venue in which you got thousands of people just seething crowds rolling around, you know, breathing all over each other. I suppose I get it. I get it. I get it. And it is about at this time that we'd be gearing up for the State Fair of Texas. And from 1994 till 2011, I did shows from there for all 3 weeks of the fair. Outdoor talk shows, woohoo! Especially for a guy who has raging allergies every fall. It was today's show brought to you by Afrin. But it was awesome, and I got a chance to meet so many of you, and it was fantastic, and we'd finish up, and we'd meet listeners, and we'd do stuff, and we'd have promotions, and go out and wander up to, howdy, folks, and there's old Big Tex, however tall he is, up there, that central circle there at Fair Park. Well, there is no State Fair of Texas, but guess what they did? And as I tell you the story, you're going to think, this is awesome, and it is, they erected Big Tex anyway. They put that boy up there. They hauled him out of storage, put him on the crane, put him up there. Big Tex is standing at Fair Park even today as we speak. And people, there's no state fair, people will be allowed to roll in. I don't know what the protocols are for this, but you can drive in, roll up. They'll, golf cart you in. You can take a picture with Big Tex behind you and stuff like that. Just anything we can do to just maintain some shred of the tradition that is the Great State Fair of Texas. So I saw the picture, saw the photograph, and there is Big Tex at Fair Park standing there. There he is, ready to go, ready to fill people's picture viewfinders, et cetera, et cetera. Viewfinders, what is it, 1983? Sorry. But you know where I'm going. Many of you already know. There's Big Tex wearing a mask. They put a stinking mask on Big Tex. Now, I get it. It's like a big public service announcement. Hey, everybody, and I got the Surgeon General in my ear every day. Please wear a mask, wear a mask, wear a mask. I know, I get it. Don't beat me to death. I get it. I'm wearing the damn thing. I get it. 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 Did I say that I get it? And I hate it. I hate it on me. I hate it on you. I can't see you. And now I can't see the face of an inanimate object? You got Big Tex up there, 55 feet high, however tall he is, and they had to put a stupid mask on Big Tex? Come on, man, as Joe Biden might say. Oh, so it's funny. So I didn't know how widely held this view would be. Oh, people went off. And then, of course, the response to that came, even Big Tex is not immune to the mask wars. Well, no, because they took this wonderful, wonderful icon and decided they were going to use that for a further mask beatdown. We get it. We all get it. Who's not wearing one? The only people not wearing one are the folks who are, I don't know, they're just the anti-maskers, whatever you want to call them. And I don't know if there's any retrieving those folks. I don't know if anybody who hasn't been wearing one is all of a sudden going to go, at this point, after months of this, go, okay, I guess I'll wear one. Whatever. The messaging is everywhere. It's all over the place. And so it just drove me crazy. I said, really? Really? This is what we've got to do? Oh, wow, I was right. 55 feet for Big Tex. I know how tall Big Tex is, but I can't find my shoes. All right, real quick, if there's anything else that I must say, because I was going to get to this, but hey, it's busy. I mentioned that I watched a little bit of the Browns and the Bengals. I pray to God that I can watch the Dallas Cowboys. We will find out on Sunday at noon if America's team wants America to watch. And if one knee hits the turf, the answer is no. There is a sport and a local team where we had a little smattering of kneeling, so I turned the dang TV off. This was a little while back. They stopped it, and they've had a good bit of success since. And that adventure starts this weekend. Let's go to Denton. Brian, tell everybody who I'm talking about.
Dallas Stars.
Your Dallas Stars in the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time in 20 years. That's awesome. I didn't know if it was a celebratory honk or you tripped your car alarm. But you're right. And we all remember, those of us who are here and old enough, 1999, Stars and Buffalo Sabres. We win the Stanley Cup like 5 years after becoming a team. We went back to the Stanley Cup Finals the following year. In 2000 against the New Jersey Devils, we did not win that year, but then in a 20-year drought, and we're back in, and we learned last night that our opponent will be the very, very, very good Tampa Bay Lightning, and those games start tonight or tomorrow?
Saturday.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, tomorrow. Very cool. So, look, when they started the series against the Vegas Golden Knights, who are the number one seed in the West, right? I thought after the amazing comebacks and the incredible resiliency of the Stars, I said one of two things is going to happen. Either the Knights are going to win it in five and make short work of us, or the Stars are going to show tenacity and win the series in seven. Well, darn if it wasn't the Stars who won it in five. I mean, it was unbelievable. So I don't know what, on paper, Tampa Bay probably wins this thing, but they don't skate on paper, son. So why not, man? Why not? Let's do it. And I don't know. It's a mixture for me, and you tell me about you. I love it, and they're not kneeling, so I will watch. Love hockey, love the Stars. I have since my arrival. Stars arrived right the year before I did, so we have kind of a shared history in DFW. I love it, but it kills me that we're not skating on AAC ice with 18,000 screaming fans and that I'm not one of them. I hate it. It kills me, and it's getting to me. How about you?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, I wasn't going to be one of the fans in the stands in any case, so it doesn't change my experience a whole lot.
That's a good point. And, you know, and I know it's in a bubble and there are no fans on TV. I thought it would be so weird watching sports with no fans, and it kind of is. But then after you get 5 minutes into a game, any game that you actually are watching, which for me is far less, you're just watching the action, and that's then, you know, and then that's it. So I will do that. And don't fret over things you have no control over. This we have no control over. It's in the bubble. It's in Edmonton, I guess. And so let us just wish the Stars well, and let's bring home another visit by Lord Stanley's Cup. Brian, thank you very, very much. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 727. That's all I want to do, man. I want to see you smile. And I'll tell you, if I can't see you smile, if I run into you at Tom Thumb, if there's anybody whose smile I want to see, it's Big Tex. Take that damn mask off that boy. I'm dead serious. Just sent me to the, 1989 and Bad English. What a great record. That was a neat little band. They were around for about 4 years. That's Jonathan Wade out front. And Journey had disbanded, so we went and got Neil Schon on guitar, Jonathan Cain on keyboards, and a little Bad English, When I See You Smile. All right, well, I can't see him smile, but I'll hear him. He's the happy warrior. He is Mike Gallagher, and we'll talk to him about his Friday show. Get a little preview next at 7:33. Into the newsroom we go. I'm Mark Davis. Here's Gordon Griffin. I often phrase things. Hey was fill in the blank, 2-year-old, 7-year-old, 14-year-old Mike Gallagher listening to this. That'd be quite impossible here, Mike. Little Venus, Frankie Avalon's first number one. From the year before your birth, 1959.
Yeah, it's before my time.
That's
right. I love it.
It's great. And Frankie Avalon, still around, still with us. 80.
137
no,
years
no,
old.
No, he's not. He's not.
How old is he?
He is 80 today.
You know what ticks me off about getting old, Mark? You know, every time there's a crime committed against like a 60-year-old.
Exactly.
And then the media calls it an attack on an elderly person.
Yes,
just get so, it ruins my whole day.
However, I'm but like, there's a flip side. But there is a flip side. Okay, I mean, usually you think 65 is when, you know, senior status kicks in, but it depends on where you're going. Is there a place, are there locations where you yourself, and I'm 3 years ahead of you, have taken advantage of a senior discount?
As the kids would say, oh, hell no. Hell no.
What, because you've refused it or what? Because
yeah, absolutely. I look at them like they're crazy. I don't want a senior discount. Well, first of all,
what's the matter with you?
I'm absolutely not. I don't want to acknowledge I'm a senior.
I'm trying to remember it was. Some places it kicks in at 55. At Einstein Bagels, where I'm nearly a stockholder now, it kicks in at 60. And I'll hit them with that dang thing for my cheddar jalapeno double toasted light schmear. Every dog, it's a buck and a half. What's the matter with you?
That sounds so good.
Do it. Free yourself.
No.
Free yourself,
no,
Mike.
No,
embrace the calendar.
No.
It's all right.
Listen, I'm already shaking like a leaf because I have to share a mask story with you because I heard you talking about masks. And people get mad at us for talking about it, but let's face it. This is a multi-layered, pardon the pun, fascinating issue because it talks to human nature.
Yep.
It talks to the pandemic that we are all, you know, struggling through.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal, so you can't ignore it. I'm in Publix yesterday. Now,
Florida supermarket chain.
Mm-hmm. Huge Florida supermarket chain. Mm-hmm. And that's one of my go-tos. Listen, my life is so Bill Murray Groundhog Day. Every single day, I'm at the UPS store. Hi, Jody. Hi, Mike.
Hi,
how are
Mike.
You? I go to the Publix. I get my bananas. Hi, how are you? It's every single day, right?
Yeah.
Everybody in Florida now, in any building, has a mask.
Yep.
Okay? It's very rare. very rare to see somebody without one.
And it's jarring.
Just the way it is.
It's kind of jarring. In fact, it's like, whoa, what's the matter with you? I mean, it's a little bit.
A lady yesterday in Publix is marching around, and you could see her. She had just a look of defiance. Mm-hmm. She was probably in her 40s.
The look of defiance. What does that look
she
like?
She did.
What is the
well,
look of
defiance? Well, let me tell you.
Maybe she just didn't have one. Maybe she forgot
she
it
was,
that day.
No. She was looking at everybody with kind of a half smile on her face.
All right.
And let me confirm it. Let me confirm this.
Yep.
Every 10 minutes or so, they make an announcement on the PA system.
Whoa.
It is Pinellas County Public Ordinance.
Right.
Anybody inside an establishment must have a face covering. And she looks up at the ceiling. I swear to you, I'm telling you the truth. I'm looking
at
her. She
flips
up
at the bird and goes, "Freedom!"
Well,
sorry.
Not quite, but she gave it a good old eye roll.
Yeah.
It was a big old eye roll. She just rolled her eyes. And let me just say that, but let me say something about this.
Yeah.
I've been thinking a lot, and somebody just texted me, incidentally, about you. On the MyPillow text line, which as people listen to us, incidentally, I always kind of think it's kind of cool if anybody wants to text me in real time, 1-800-655-6453, because I love this chat, this text feature. Now, if you're a jerk, you get blocked real quick.
Exactly right. Okay,
I'll put the hammer on you faster than President Trump just put the hammer on TikTok.
Boom.
And you heard that story, right?
I did. We'll talk about that in a minute, because I have old guy questions about that. Go ahead.
Well, I don't even know how to spell TikTok, much less know what it is. But anyway, somebody texted me, "Hey, Mike, love the show. Love Mark Davis's show. I make frequent stops for a living, so it's hard for me to call in. So if you could please ask Mark Davis to compare his position on masks to Dennis Prager's position on masks. Does Mark think that Dennis is a loon?" Now, this debate is fascinating because I think Dennis is real. I don't know that Dennis is necessarily anti-mask, but Dennis has a different view. Seb Gorka, I think Larry Elder, I think these guys are like, masks, I don't know. Here's the point. Without even debating it, I don't even want to debate it, because let me just make an observation at 35,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
We should not be surprised at the independent spirit of the American people.
Nope.
That's who we are, Mark. That's why we're different from South Korea.
Yep.
It's why we're not France. It's why we're not China. We question. We push back. And I may feel a certain way about a transmission of a virus through droplets and believe what I choose to believe and what my doctor tells me, but that lady marching around the grocery store without the mask on yesterday, guarantee you she feels differently. Why does that surprise us?
Well, Mark, that's
America.
It is. You're totally right. And then throw in that we have been lied to by officials about it in the early going. And the overall, we just don't know. I mean, is it just pure logic that something in front of your face impedes stuff coming in and going out? Sure it is. And for that reason, that's why I'm willing to play along with this charade and just be a good citizen and a good guy and not be a jerk and freak people out at Tom Thumb. I'm going to do that. And as far as, you know, whether how I feel about whether how Dennis feels or how Seb feels, I don't think Dennis or Dr. Gorka are flouting mask rules and walking around stores going, I mean, they're not doing that. I think so. We may feel, I don't know if there's that much difference at all. I am totally willing to accept the possibility that this entire mask obsession has been ill-placed. But what am I going to do about it? Am I then going to go be a renegade and freak people out in a small store by saying, it doesn't matter, it's bad sign? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going
to
slog through it, get through it, and get out.
And what we do as Americans, I think that if you choose to wear a mask, you should be every bit as respected for that as people who don't want to wear a mask. And if you don't want to be around people that don't have a mask on, stay 6 feet away from them.
Yep.
You don't have to shame them or scream at them or yell at them. I mean, there have been so many videos online with literally fist fights over masks. I'm thinking, well, if you're rolling around on the floor, fist fighting with somebody, maybe that's not good social distancing because you're having a conflict about. So we ought to have some grace for everybody and also some appreciation, some good old-fashioned American independence. That's what we are. And we don't believe a lot of these numbers. You know, I watched ABC. Oh, the CDC, they're screaming at me yesterday. The CDC is predicting the dire number, 218,000 deaths by October the 15th from COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so tragic and that's sad. And I'm sorry for the 218,000 families. You know how many people die a year in America? 2.8 million.
Damn.
2.8 million to heart disease, to cancer, to accidents, to suicide. 2.8 million. And so 218,000 is awful. I didn't do real well in math in school. 2.8 million is a little higher, I think. But we're not in a panic over heart disease,
no,
are we?
We're not.
And I get it. It's a transmittable disease, and it's a virus, and all that. But listen, as long as we don't see anything crazy about masks, like, oh, I don't know, them slapping big techs with a big oversized mask. At least we're not seeing that, right?
I can't believe how I reacted to that. I mean, I took 5 seconds. I went, and Lisa looked at me and said, are you all right? It's big techs. And I said, I know. It's an inanimate, and I'll tell you what it is. It's a byproduct of this. The other side of my willingness to go along with all of this, yes, I'll wear the stupid mask in the store. I'll do all those things on the off chance that I might be helping myself and others. I'll do that. But I am, as with every passing week of this, I find myself clinging to things that are normal, distancing from things that are changed. I'm a huge fan of a couple of TV shows, America's Got Talent. And I sat down with Lisa 10 years ago to start watching Dancing with the Stars. It's huge fun. I'm out on both of them because there is no audience. It's so weird. The natural, organic reaction between performers and audience is gone. And because of the stark abnormalcy, to invent a word, I can't do it.
You're not mad at them for the way they're doing it, right?
No, totally, I mean, not. It's just
can't have it. They're not.
I'm cleaving to things that are normal. In a world that is this jacked up, don't jack anything else up.
Right,
if there's something
exactly.
You can leave alone, like Big Tex's face, leave it alone. If I can't see your smile in a dang grocery store, I better see his at Fair Park. And that mask on Big Tex is a big stinking problem.
A mask on Big Tex is so 2020.
It is. It's an emblem of everything. It's all the virtue signaling.
You're right.
And it just made me insane.
I know.
I feel better.
Know.
Thank you. All right. What else you got? What are you going to do today?
Well, I mean, I guess this is a big story. My phone is vibrating because
TikTok
the Trump
thing?
Administration is going to issue an order banning Americans from downloading TikTok.
Yeah, from the app stores. TikTok and a thing called WeChat also.
Right.
Won't there just be an instant? TikTok's a big platform of people doing little videos of stuff.
Short video snippets, yeah. I guess. And it's like, I don't know. But the president, according to the Associated Press, could rescind the order before then. If TikTok parent ByteDance can finalize a deal to make Oracle its technology partner in
my
the U.S.
My brain is leaking out my ears.
If I woke up with my face stapled to the carpet tomorrow morning, I would have less interest in TikTok. Do you know where that line's from? Do you know where that's from?
No,
do you recognize that pump?
Face stapled to the carpet? No, hold on.
If I woke up, Cousin Eddie, I woke up tomorrow with my face stapled to the carpet, that's the great Clark Griswold, played by Chevy
From
Chase,
Vacation.
In my single favorite movie, Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation. That's true.
Oh, it's like I missed that movie. All right. Happy Friday. Onward and upward.
All right,
we
have
got a
great
big preview.
Weekend.
Yeah. Oh, we will. I can't believe we made it through another week somehow.
Yes. Another week at Paradise. He's there for you every day. That's Mike Gallagher. Thank you, man. Love you. Today at 10, he's there on 660 AM The Answer. Arrete, 866-660-5759. We got a little window of time before we wrap up the hour. Let's say hi to our buddy Dale. Welcome, sir. How you doing?
Hey, Mark. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Hey, there's lots of things I love about you, but one of which is your knowledge of musical history.
Mm-hmm.
And on this, the 50th anniversary of Jimi Hendrix's death, I was wondering if you could give some insight on how the national anthem was accepted when he played this during, not just during Woodstock, but he continued to play it.
Sure.
Concert after that.
Let's
and
spend
how
a
it was
second.
Accepted by society and during all the. I mean, you had lots of protests going
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely, with a window, with a sliver of time. Here's the hang on, I'll give you a last word. So Woodstock happens in the summer of 1969. Jimi Hendrix and his band were the very last act to play at Woodstock. The crowds swelled to 400,000. There might have been fewer than 50,000 because it was 9 o'clock in the morning. I mean, everybody played overnight. The previous night, The Who played at like 5 o'clock in the morning. They played to a sunrise. This is how late each night ran. So Jimi Hendrix rolls out with the very psychedelic take on the Star Spangled Banner. Did people freak out? Did people go nuts? Did people go, oh, Jimi Hendrix? They really did not. Now, this is interesting. Part of why is because this is when the modern era of flag burning had started to kick in. Some particularly virulent Vietnam protests had indeed featured some flag burning, especially in the prior red hot year of 1968. But the other thing that kept people from freaking out and going nuts is it was Woodstock. It was a half a million hippies. The overall vibe was one of love and mellowness and probably being high as a kite in many cases. And for Jimi Hendrix, I don't think anybody did. Jimi Hendrix had served in the military. I don't think there was anybody who thought that he did this as a protest, as an insult to the anthem. It might not have been anybody's cup of tea. I got to tell you, I think the Jimi Hendrix national anthem may be less jarring to me than hearing a lot of pop divas turn it into a vocal calisthenic exercise. So it wasn't that jarring at the time, and has not. It's not like the previous year where you had a couple athletes, you know, raising their fist in the 1968 Olympics. It generally was not viewed as an offense against the anthem, but rather a creative treatment of it you could either like or not like.
So even all the protests with the Vietnam War and all that, people still viewed the national anthem and the United States positively if you played that. I mean, he continued to play that.
Oh, sure. And nobody ever thought that was Jimi Hendrix flipping the bird to the national anthem. These kneelers are. They'll tell you they're not. Oh, it's not about the flag. It's not about the anthem. Well, then do it some other time. Of course, it is intended to show disrespect to the flag and the anthem. And we'll dwell on that here as we see what the Cowboys are going to do. Dale, thanks. God bless. We'll find out here noon on Sunday if the Cowboys want us to watch. You're going to hear millions of TVs just go goodbye, click, when one knee hits the turf. There's a way that doesn't happen. I'll tell you that next. And welcome a bunch of other calls on a bunch of other topics. Grab a line, 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 759.